The just shall live by faith. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. But you believe because you have the Word of God. And the faithfulness of God is good enough for you to go on, although you don't feel, see, or whatever it might be. And we know in Hebrews 11, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those who come to God, they must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And if you look at that chapter, you find a lot of people there who couldn't figure out the end from the beginning and never understood the end from the beginning while they were alive, and some of them lived a lot longer than you'll ever live. Some of them were well up in their hundreds, 200s, 300s. They didn't see anything. They didn't see a promise fulfilled. They held on to the promise. They were persuaded of that promise. They just believed that God was going to fulfill that promise, like Brother Peter was just saying. They had their sorrows. They had their griefs. They had their problems, but they just believed the promise of God. And there's something precious about holding on to the promise of God, even if you don't see the promise of God being fulfilled. There's a victory won for the kingdom of God simply by our faith in the Word of God, just by standing upon that promise, until you see the glory of God. We had that yesterday in John 11. Said I not unto you that if you would believe, you would see. You would see. But you've got to believe. Now, how long do I have to believe before I see? I don't know. You may have to believe the rest of your life, or the next 20 years, or it might be till tomorrow. I don't know how long. The Bible doesn't guarantee success overnight. Answers always overnight. But there is a strengthening and a waxing stronger as time goes on that is supernatural, that God does, that He puts into our souls to enable us to continue to believe Him in the face of pending doom, if I could put it that way. Abraham waxed stronger in his conflict. It lasted 25 years. You're going to have a child. You're going to have a child. Okay, let's have a child. Let's see. I don't have a child. Maybe Eliezer, my servant, maybe he'll be the child. No, Lord said it's not Eliezer. He's not your son. I'm going to give you your own child. You're going to have your own little boy, not Eliezer, this adopted servant of yours that you can treat as your son. And so time went on some more, and Abraham still didn't quite understand. And so he thought, well, then maybe by my wife's servant girl, maybe I'll take her to my wife, and maybe I can have. And he did try that way too. And there came the son, and the Lord said, that's not it. You and your wife Sarah are going to have a son. And it was an impossible situation, but he believed God. He just trusted God. He didn't waver at all. He just, as a matter of fact, he waxed stronger as time went on. It's so important that we learn that, and that's hard. It's hard when the skies are dim. You know that song? It almost makes you want to jump out the 25th story window when you sing it. When life seems worse than useless and earthly hopes are dead, I take my case to Jesus. Man, by the time I get to that verse, I'm thinking this is tough. But I like to sing it because I like it when we get around to, but it's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. You go through those times. Every one of us will. If you haven't, you will. You'll get to a place where you'll wonder, I don't understand this. And you might have a question about it. But thank God that we can choose, and I'm pretty sure it's a choice, to believe Him. Not to get bitter, not to question God, but I'm going to believe Him. What did Job say when he didn't understand? Poor guy. I mean, when you read all that happened to him, he had no clue what was going on there. He had no idea that God was standing there or that the enemy was there in the presence of God. And God is bragging about Job. Hey, devil, have you considered my servant Job? There's not a guy like him on the face of the earth. The man he maintains his integrity and his purity. He hates evil. Look at Job, man. I got a guy down there. And the Lord said, yeah, wait until you see what I can do. Or the devil said, let me at him. And you know how the Lord allowed this and allowed that, permitted this and permitted that. And what did Job say? Though God slay me, yet I'm going to trust Him. And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He never said, but, oh Lord, I don't know. His friends did, his wife did, but not Job. But he just believed God. I know that my Redeemer liveth and on the earth again shall stand. Though in my flesh I'm going to see corruption, but I know that my Redeemer, I know that He's forever and forever, and I can put my confidence in Him. Without faith, we're not going to get very far. Without faith, of course, we're not ever going to get to first base. First base is our sins forgiven. It's by grace that we are saved through faith. It's not anything of ourselves, it is a gift of God. It's not of our works, lest any man should boast. But then after having received the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, we're called upon not to then abandon faith, but to then continue to live by faith and to continue to walk by faith, not by sight, not by feelings, but by faith. And that's hard sometimes. But I'm thankful that the Lord has help for us. And when you read in the New Testament, you read what the Lord said about it often. He commented to different people, different areas of where He traveled, about people's faith. He saw different ones, and remember, well, let's see, how many of you here could help me? Can you think of anybody that the Lord Jesus, when He was on this earth, said something about their faith, commented about it, and it was to their credit? Do you remember anybody like that? The centurion. You remember what happened with the centurion? Not even a Jew from Jerusalem. I know. I'm just teasing you now. I'm going to speech class this afternoon. I'll get it yet. Yeah, Jerusalem. He was just a centurion. He was not one of those. Well, anyway, and he came to the Lord. Remember, his servant was sick. Lord, if you just, what did he say? Say the word. Just say the word. I have that confidence, Lord. You just say the word. You don't have to come to my house. Just say the word, and I know my servant's going to be made well. And what did Jesus say about his faith? I have not. Yeah, I haven't found such great faith. Boy, you got faith. Who else? Anybody else? You can think of several more. Let's just try two more. The woman with the issue of blood. She pressed through that crowd. I know that if I but touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made well. And she reached down and touched the hem of his garment. Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Disciples said, everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched me? No, somebody touched me in faith. And he turned to that woman. And what did he say to that woman? Thy faith has made you whole. The Lord responds to faith, not just in salvation from sin, but as we live our lives, as we believe Him, He responds. Anybody got another one? One more? That's a good one, because that wasn't even the faith of the paralytic. But you remember those four men that brought their friend to Jesus and ripped open the roof and lowered him down. And it says, Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, your sins be forgiven. What a wonderful response there always was in Jesus to faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But when we do put our faith and confidence in Him, He works. Faith is the open door whereby God is able to work. And as we heard Wednesday night, as we praise the Lord, that is faith. Exhibiting faith. Confidence in our King, in our Savior, in our Lord. Acknowledging Him. And He responds as we praise Him. He responds as we act in faith and in confidence towards Him. Jesus also, on a number of occasions, got after His disciples because of their lack of faith. You maybe remember those kinds of things too. Can anybody think of one? Yeah, Chris?
When they're on the water and the storm comes.
Yeah.
And He says they got little faith.
Yeah, on the water there, a storm rose. And what was Jesus doing? Sleeping. What half of you? No, what? Jesus was doing what He did when He got tired. What do you do when you get tired? You go to sleep. And He was sleeping in the back of the boat, and the storm comes, and the boat's flying all over the place, and the disciples run to Jesus, and they wake Him up. And you remember what they said? Carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus didn't answer them right away. He first got up, and He said, I'm told that the original word says, be muzzled. He spoke peace and calm. Even the winds and the waves obey Him. Be muzzled. Sera la boca, por favor. Is that what He says? Shut your mouth, storm. Enough of you already. And he quieted the storm, and the sea was calm. And then after He took care of the storm and the sea, He turned to His disciples, because He still needed to take care of them. And He upbraided them. He upbraided them because of their lack of faith. I'm here in the boat with you. What's the matter? Why are you all bent out of shape? I'm right here. We're not going down. We're going to the other side. We'll get through the storm. Though the angry surges roll on my tempest, whatever driven soul or bark so small and frail. By your grace, I am gonna not fail. I'm getting through to the other side. But sometimes you and I, in our storms of life, we have a lack of faith. But I'm glad that the Lord works with us. He doesn't say, get out of here. You guys are a bunch of unbelievers, good for nothing. See, he doesn't treat us like that. He knows we're weak. He knows we're frail. Frail children of dust. And feeble as frail. But then the songwriter says, but on thee do we trust. And we don't find thee to fail. Your mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. So it's safe for us to put our trust in him. And so when we get sick, we put our faith in him. And when little Susie is not knowing what to do with her life, we want to pray for little Susie that the Lord will help. But, you know, there's an area that we need to exercise faith that sometimes we just don't even think of it. We don't even connect this one area of our lives with faith, yet the Bible links it very much so together. In Luke chapter 17, if you have a Bible and you turn with me, to Luke 17, Jesus is again dealing with his disciples. And he's talking to them at the beginning of the chapter about offenses are going to come. People are going to get offended and are going to stumble. But you just be careful that you're not the cause of the offense or the stumbling block that you put in someone else's path, because that's a very serious matter, by the way. You should take it to heart. Offenses are going to come, but woe to that person who the offense comes by. It's better for that person if a millstone were hung around his neck and you were thrown into Brant Lake. It just says into the sea. It doesn't say Brant Lake. That's serious. And then Jesus continues to talk to them. So watch yourselves. And if your brother sins, you talk to him and rebuke him. And if he repents, then you forgive them, forgive the fella. And if he sins against you seven times a day, and seven times he comes back to you and says, I repent, then you should forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Now, why do you think they said increase our faith? Then what did that have to do with what Jesus just said? If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he asks forgiveness, forgive him. And if he sins against you twice, forgive him twice. Three times, forgive him three times. If he goes up to seven, just keep forgiving him. Just forgive him. Forgive him. Forgive him. If he repents, forgive him. And the disciples, in response to that, it seems disjointed. The disciples, in response to that, say, Lord, increase our faith. You would almost seem to think that they saw a blind man walk by at the time while Jesus was teaching, and they were focusing on him and said, Lord, increase our faith that we can go heal that blind man. But that, I'm sure, wasn't the case. What did what Jesus say have to do with they prompted to pray a short prayer like this? Increase our faith. Okay, we're getting a combined effort there. Good. Anybody else?
I didn't hear what he said, but it seems to me that what Jesus is teaching there seems impossible. It just seems out of human abilities. You know, you can't do stuff like that unless you believe that if Jesus said to do it, it's the right thing to do.
Ah, okay. I agree with both of what you said. I'm glad you didn't hear each other, but you both said the same thing. So we got stereo, and if you're in the middle, you heard them both. You didn't hear anything? Let me tell you what they said. What they were saying was that it's a hard thing to do. Maybe it's an impossible thing to do, to forgive somebody and forgive somebody and forgive somebody. You don't want to forgive them after a while. What do you want to do?
Knock them out.
Well, I don't go about that far. I better watch out for this fella. You want to at least give him one of those. You want to give him the last piece of your mind. And some of you have already done that more than you should. And, we have a tendency to want to do that. And I think what the disciples were saying is, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to believe you that you're able to do what you want us to do, because we don't know that we can do what it is that you're calling upon us to do. And it gets back to last night. He wants to show us stuff that's in ourselves. That's what the discipler does to disciples. He teaches them. He doesn't just teach them things that they want to be taught. He teaches them things that are necessary so that they can become better disciples. See, if you have an unforgiving spirit, you're no good to Jesus. You're no good to the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, if you have an unforgiving spirit, you're not even going to go to heaven. What do you mean I'm not going to go to heaven? I have eternal, whatever you might have, eternal love. The Bible says that if you don't forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. And that's in Matthew 6. That's the Sermon on the Mount. That's the big thing, the creed of the kingdom. That's the important stuff that Jesus taught at the beginning of his ministry. And what he said is, you fellas need to learn to forgive. That's why in the Lord's Prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, he said, pray this way. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. He didn't just tell the disciples to learn to pray, forgive our sins. That's easy. Forgive our sins. I'll forgive your sin as you forgive those that sin against you. How do you forgive those that sin against you? I'll never let you go. 27 years ago, you know what she did to me? I haven't spoken to her since, and she deserves it. Yeah, but she's asked you 27 times to forgive her, but you just won't do that. How could I? Do you know what she did? She embarrassed me in front of everybody. And she said that, and he did this, and oh, yay, 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 yay. And Jesus says to his disciples, and I think they had a little bit of that in themselves because they knew themselves. And by this time, they had been traveling around a little bit with Jesus, and they were probably getting on each other's nerves. And, you know, Peter maybe headed up to here. Well, Peter's probably the one that was giving everybody else the up to here, because he seemed to have foot and mouth disease and always seemed to be getting into trouble. And, you know, it probably didn't set very well when the disciples heard Zebedee's, or those two guys' mother say, Lord, we want our boys, one to sit at one side of your throne in the kingdom and one at the other side of the throne in your kingdom. I wonder what the rest of the disciples say. Who do they think these guys are? Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I think when they heard, forgive, ay, 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 forgive. I don't know if I can possibly do that. Lord, increase our faith. You know, sometimes the Lord will show you something in you. And this wasn't the only time, the first, the last time that the Lord would do this to the disciples. Because he's too good to let us go our own way. He's too good to not call things to our attention so that he might root them out. But when he calls them to our attention, it's not to harm us. It's not to make us feel how unworthy we are of him. We are unworthy of him. But he doesn't point that out to us so that we can, you know, what did I say that somebody liked 2 years ago? Go out and watch Rock and Eat Worms. And that's not why he tells us these kinds of things. He doesn't tell us these things so we can, you know, smack ourselves and do this and sleep on a bed of nails because we're unworthy worms of the earth. He doesn't do that. He does these things for us so that he can help us to be changed. And, you know, it's okay to say, Lord, I'm no good and I'm a nothing and I'm a wicked person and I'm an unrighteous wretch and I'm a this and I'm a that. But, you know, the other side of it is equally good, and it's maybe even healthy to say, Lord, I'm a saint. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. The Apostle Paul didn't write to the churches and say, now let me write to the sinners at Ephesus. Now let me write to the hypocrites at Ephesus. Well, he did write to them in that letter. He said, now, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And he wrote to them things, and you'd wonder, this is saints? This isn't a bunch of saints. He should be writing to the sinners. But he picked them up out of their sin. He set them on a rock. He put a new song into their mouths, and he's changing them into his image, and they are saints. I like what Jack Hayford wrote. You know Jack Hayford? You like him? He's a good guy. And he now, I guess, is retired. You can buy his books down in the bookstore. At least I saw one of them, and He's the one that wrote Exalt His Name Together, number 43 in our hymnals. And he said one time, he was preaching to a group at Full Gospel Businessmen's Breakfast Association, or whatever that's called, and all these men were sitting around all these tables and eating the scrumptious mousseline, or whatever that is that we had for breakfast this morning. Yeah, right, Jerusalem, lime, I got you now, mousseline. And he's eating, they're eating their breakfast, and they finished, and Jack Hafer got up to preach and to speak, and he wanted, I guess, to get a point home. And he said, you know, I don't know your names, all your names, and you don't know one another around the table, but why don't you just start and introduce yourself to each other, Ralph and Teddy and Bobby and whoever you might be. Introduce yourself to the people around the table, but don't just tell them your name. Say, my name is St. Ernest. And my name is St. Eric. And my name is St. whatever it might be. And so they began to do that. They went around the table. My name is, and you know, it's a little awkward. You don't usually think of yourself as saint, do you? Saints are people that are old and dead. But the Bible doesn't talk about saints like that. The Bible talks about saints. Saints are separated, sanctified people, separated unto God. They're His children. They're the ones that He's redeemed, and the ones that He's called, and the ones that He's fashioning, the ones that He's using. They're not the old run-of-the-mill crowd of sinners. They're saints. And he got around to one table, and one guy at the table, he was just sitting there with his head down. He didn't want to play. Did you ever get that kind of thing, that people don't want to play? They don't want to do this. He didn't want to do this. And they said, why don't you want to do this? What's the matter? He said, my name is Bernard. Well, maybe he would excuse himself because of that, but maybe it'll be good today, and I'm not going to hold you to this, but wouldn't it be nice? Maybe you should think of yourself as that, Saint Johanna. Why not? She is a saint. There are other saints here too, aren't you? Oh, no, I'm not a saint because I didn't have perfect, I don't know if I could forgive seven times. I'm a sinner. I'm no good. I'm such a wicked person. Yeah, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know Paul said that, but you know what else Paul said? Paul talked about himself as a saint. Paul talked about himself as one that had been redeemed, one that had been set free, one that was no longer alive anymore, but buried with Christ by baptism into his death, so that he can be raised together with Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly places to walk a newness of life. There ain't no sinners sitting with Christ in heavenly places. There are a bunch of saints up there. And so are you and I called to be saints. Now, take both because it's healthy to never think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, and to remember the pit that we've been dug from, and to know that we are that is in our flesh. There is nothing redeemable, nothing salvageable, nothing good. But thank God, I am not a sinner only. I am a sinner saved by grace. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching me stuff. And what the grace of my Lord is teaching me is to deny ungodliness and to deny worldly lusts and to walk soberly and righteously before Him in this present world. That's what Paul writes to Titus. And I'm thankful that I can learn just like the disciples needed to learn. But I don't think I can do this, Lord. Lord, I don't think I really can. I can't ever stop this. I can't ever, my mouth is just motor mouth. And it just, I can't get a control of it. You know, the psalmist prayed, and maybe he had a problem along that line, or maybe he knew people that did. He said, Lord, put a watch over my lips. Lord, don't let any unwholesome stuff come out. Let the words of my mouth and let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. He didn't say, well, I can't. I just never can get over that. That's my besetting sin. Everybody's got one, and that's mine. And so that's the end of the story. I'll never forgive. I heard people say that. People that would think that they're saints and they're ain'ts. They're not saints. There's something missing when you can say or confess with your mouth, I'll never forgive that person what she did to me. And if he does that again, I'll never forgive him. Don't ever say that. Because as you forgive others, so the Lord will forgive you. Lord, increase my faith. Not just so that I can move a mountain. Not just so that I can heal the sick or raise the dead. And not just, but Lord, so that my soul so that my life can be sanctified, so that I can be saintly, so that I can be what you want me to be. And I don't know that I can do this, but Lord, I know that you're able. Help me to believe that you're able. I think, as I've heard Uncle Edwin say it so many times, I stopped saying I can't when I heard that he could, or when I found that he could. I stopped saying I can't do that. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, that's what it says in the Bible. That's what he says. But I can't do that. And I can't do the other thing. I stopped saying I can't when I found out that he could. Yes, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to believe you, Jesus. Help me to trust you, that you're able to save through and through, spirit, soul, and body, to the uttermost. And so as the disciples asked the Lord to increase their faith, I have a funny feeling that he answered their request. He continued to teach them. We don't have the time to go through the rest of the Gospels, but there were other opportunities that they had. The Lord often built on what he had started to work in them. He gave them a chance to overcome. He helped them some more. He gave them another opportunity and helped them again. And finally, they get to a place where, no, they were not perfect, I don't suppose, but they were growing to perfection. And St. Peter then wrote an epistle and a letter. And he wrote it to other saints. And Paul, St. Paul, the poor guy wasn't so much, but he wrote another letter to a bunch of other saints. And so St. Ernest wants to say to St. Matty this morning, let's be sanctified. Let's take the grace of God to live the way that he wants us to live. And where we find it hard, where you guys find it hard, where the rubber hits the road and this doesn't seem to work because this isn't reality. This is Bible stuff. And Bible stuff is for Bible times and old people. Well, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to believe that you're able to save me through and through. We thank you, Lord, that the disciples were a work in progress. We are your disciples and we are works in progress. Lord, we need a lot of help. We need a lot of education. We need a lot of teaching. And we thank you that you're a good teacher. We thank you that you're patient with us. That, Lord, you work in us and you work over us and we are your workmanship and you fashion us and mold us and you're changing us from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. And Lord, we pray that we wouldn't stop or become satisfied until you're satisfied. Lord, till you see what you want to see when you picked us up out of sin and began to work in us. Lord, you got something in mind. And we don't see the end from the beginning, but Lord, you do. And sometimes you allow hard things. Sometimes you allow things that we don't like. You allow them for our benefit and our good, because we do know that all things do work together for good. Lord, they work out for a purpose that you have over us, and that purpose is that we might be transformed into the image of Jesus. And Lord, you're making us what you want us to be, by your mighty power, through your word, by the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray that we wouldn't say, oh, I can't. But, Lord, that we would realize we can through Christ. And to that end, increase our faith, Lord. Help us to believe you where we've had it hard, Lord, where we don't think we can get through this thing. The temptation is too keen or strong. Increase our faith, Lord, and help us to trust you more. Because without that faith, it's impossible for us to please you. But Lord, we pray that you'd strengthen it even today. Savior, raise our faith in thee. Lord, for your glory, for your name's sake, Lord, that we might be to the praise and glory and honor of your name. Help us, we pray. Thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.